Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape two of two tapes of the Friday afternoon, June the 25th, 1982, teaching session with Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. This tape is of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And we would go out, but we would limit ourselves to, at the most, 10 days or 2 weeks. Because at the end of 2 weeks, we were so shot, we were so physically exhausted, that we couldn't hardly crawl back home. Ida Mae always got back home, and she had what she called a pajama day. That meant that the next day after we got home, she never got out of her pajamas. She just sat back in the lazy boy chair, and she didn't get up, she didn't do anything, she just laid there. She was just in a state of recovery. And I would try to push it. I said, I'm going to get to work. And I'd get out there and I'd try to do something. And after about 2 hours, I was shot and I was back on the bed, laid out. Because I'd been out for 2 weeks in ministry. And then the Lord began to open doors for us to be out in prolonged ministry. The last streak of ministry we had lasted 3 months before we got back home. We went all the way from the Yukon Territory in the Arctic Circle, clear down to the Gulf of Mexico, all the way from California and in between, clear up to New York State. And we were covering a lot of territory. We were ministering in a lot of churches. And you know, when you're in the ministry of deliverance, you just don't walk in and teach a 30-minute lesson and walk off and forget it. You go in there and you teach hours on end, and you're on your feet hour on end. And when you get through, everybody presses up the front and say, I got to tell you what my problem is. And so you stand there and counsel and pray and minister until it's real late at night. And then the phone rings in the middle of the night and wakes you up. And then you get up in the morning and there's more work to do and you're gone again. And that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of strength. And we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it because our physical man was pooped out. And so God began to tell us that there were some things we were going to have to do to take care of our physical bodies. And He put us on a program of exercise and He put us on a program of proper eating so that our bodies would receive the strength and the stamina they need so that when we went out in spiritual ministry, our physical bodies could keep up with the spirit man. I tell you, when you get tired, you can't get discernment. When you're worn out, you can't get discernment, even yet. There are times at night when people have waited past midnight and say, please pray for me, please minister deliverance to me. And I have to say, I'm just too tired, I can't get any discernment. But I tell you, it's a lot better than it used to be because God has shown us that if the spirit man is going to minister, the physical man has to be taken care of. Now, back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or literally doctrines that demons teach. Some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to go away from the teaching of God's Word. They're going to start giving heed to deceptive spirits, seducing spirits, who come forth with certain teachings through certain false teachers, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, he says there's going to be a doctrine of demons that comes forth in the last days, and there are going to be two facets that he mentions of that doctrine, forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats, or literally the word is for foods, abstaining from certain foods. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about those people who are trying to make the flesh a means of gaining spiritual life or spiritual reward. Those people who say, well, if I kill the body, if I refuse to let the body, if I refuse to marry and refuse to let the body have its true need of sexual expression, then I have gained spiritual ascendancy. Untrue. That's a doctrine which demons teach. The same thing is true concerning food. The person who says, if I deny my body, if I refuse to let my body have certain foods, then I have gained it. I am Mr. It as far as spiritual attainment is concerned. But you see, we keep coming back to the same principle. Says that we've got to understand, we've got to know that we do not gain spiritual salvation and we do not gain spiritual reward simply by what the body does or it doesn't do. It has to be done in reference with the Spirit of God and in cooperation with the Spirit of God, and then only can it receive that reward and can it receive that life which God has promised. You know, as I read that verse the other day, something really jumped out to me that blessed me. It says there in verse 4 that every creature of God is good. Now, it was good the way God created it. You know, God created the things that we are to eat, the things that we are to enjoy. And He said everything that He created it good. And He did. That's the truth. He created it good. But what about it after man has got through with it? What happens to it after man has polluted it? The food was good as God created it, but wait until man processed it. After it went through man's processing, after it received all the treatment that man had to take things out and put additives in and put preservatives in, when it ends up, it's not like God created it. And God said it was good for you if you took it like He created it. You know, I've been eating for 60 years. Now you know how old I am. I've been eating for 60 years, and I just waked up a few months ago to find out how ignorant I am about food. I have to confess to you, I've been ignorant for 60 years, putting food in my body every day, but ignorant about what I was doing. I've got a lot of education since then. I ain't got it all, but I learned some things even about milk. Let me tell you something I learned about milk. Been drinking homogenized milk since early life. Back, you know, when I first grew up, we had the good kind. They said on the front porch, the cream rose up on the top of it. Had a pasteboard stopper on it. Came from just one block down the street. Somebody had a cow. But homogenized milk. You know what homogenizing does to milk? It breaks down. They force it through a screen, and it breaks down the fat particles, which is the cream. And the reason they want to break it down is so it'll be convenient, so you won't have to shake it up before you pour it out. And so they force it through that screen, and they break down the fat particles. And so it always is homogenized. It's always with the fat distributed through the entire milk. But the thing about that people have learned is that when you break down those fat particles, that enables those fat particles to get into the bloodstream and to attach themselves to the linings of your arteries, resulting in the hardening of the arteries. But as God created it, it was good. But after man got through with it, it became harmful. And when it passes through pasteurization, it takes a lot of the bacterial material out of the milk, which diminishes the quality of the milk to minister the right thing to your body. So there's some things about milk that we need to understand. God, as He created it good. But man has done some things to change it where it will be harmful to us. He put additives in it. He's putting a synthetic vitamin in it today called vitamin D. It's not a natural vitamin. It's a synthetic vitamin. And it's very questionable about the benefits of that thing for our bodies. Now, God's talking to us about taking care of our bodies and the things that we put into our bodies, because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take long to get a good education on the things that we eat and where they come from and what's been done to them. Now, God created eggs, and He said when He created eggs, they were good. I've been eating eggs all my life, and I found out something about eggs. Most of the eggs that we have today are infertile eggs. That means they took the rooster out of the chicken yard, and they put all the chickens in a big house and put all the hens in their house without any roosters around. And the eggs business, they're just going, you know, they're just producing eggs. But there's something lacking in that egg, and that is fertilization. And the fertilization of that egg puts in that egg something that is called lecithin. And lecithin is the thing that counteracts, is the natural counteractor to cholesterol. Which means that when you eat an infertile egg, you're eating an egg without lecithin in it, which increases and enhances the opportunity for that cholesterol to do its damage in your body. So we're learning that natural food is important to our bodies, because that's the way that God made it, and that's the way that God created it. Well, I want to leave some time for Ida Mae to share some testimony with us about how God has dealt with us as far as our own eating habits are concerned. And before I do that, I need to read one other passage for you. I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to skip some of what I was going to say originally, but I do want to take you to the 14th chapter of Romans. The 14th chapter of Romans, and if it won't confuse you, I'm going to read this out of William's translation of the New Testament, because it's a very clear translation of this particular passage, and I think it'll give us a clear insight into what it's saying. You know, when you get to talking about food, a lot of people get nervous, especially if you start suggesting that they ought to eat something different from what they're eating. I like to tease the young people. And they talk about they're hungry and they're going to get something to eat. I said, yeah, I bet I know what you're going to get. You're really hungry and you want something good. And you're going to go in the cafeteria and you're going to order some cauliflower and some broccoli and some beets. And they say, yeah, you know. And I see grown people like that. Boy, I tell you, you start talking to people and say, you need to change your way of eating. And they just, boy, that defense comes up like that. That old wall comes up like that. Some of you people have been loving me up here tonight, might be ready to throw rotten tomatoes at me. Because you may feel threatened. Oh, he's trying to take my Hostess Twinkie away from me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read this. Make it your practice. This is chapter 14 of Romans, beginning verse 1 from the Williams translation. Make it your practice to receive into full Christian fellowship people who are over scrupulous. But not to criticize their views. One man believes that he can eat anything. Another who is over scrupulous eats nothing but vegetables. The man who eats anything must not look down on the man who does not do so. Nor must the man who does not do so condemn the man who does. For God hath fully accepted him. He said there's one person who said, well, I can eat anything that comes my way. And another man said, oh, Horace. No, nothing but vegetable. He says the one that says he can eat anything must not look down upon and criticize the man, what did I say first, that eats vegetables, and vice versa. We can't criticize and judge one another. For it says God has fully accepted him. Who are you to criticize another man's servant? Now, each one of us are the servants of the Lord, and God will judge each one of us. It's not up to us. We're not responsible to judge each other on our eating habits. Who are you to criticize another man's servant? It is his own master's business whether he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord has power to make him stand. One man rates one day above another. Another rates them all alike. Every man may be fully convinced in his own mind. Let every man be fully convinced in his own mind. Some people say, well, there's only one day of the week that I can worship. I can worship on Sunday. Somebody else says, well, I can't worship on Sunday. The only day I can worship is on Saturday. Somebody says, I don't observe Christmas. Somebody else says, I observe Christmas. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't think of observing Easter. I found out about all the stuff that goes on at Easter. And somebody said, well, I enjoy Easter. Now, he's saying different people look at different things differently. And he says one person esteems one day better than another. And he says, the other person says, well, all days are alike to me. Now, let me parenthetically throw in here, since I've mentioned Christmas and Easter, I'm not saying that we are to observe those things which have been brought in, which are heathenistic and abominations and idolatrous and all of those things. But anybody who, out of a true spirit of love for God, wants to take December the 25th, and say, well, I want to recognize that this celebrates to me the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby into the world. The Word of God says that you're not to despise that man and you're not to judge that man as he does it unto the Lord. Now listen to that again. The man who keeps a certain day keeps it for the Lord. That's verse 6. The man who eats anything does it for the Lord too, for he gives God thanks. The man who refuses to eat anything does it for the Lord too and give God thanks. For none of us can live alone by himself, and none of us can die alone by himself. Indeed, if we live, we always live in relationship to the Lord, and if we die, we always die in relation to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died and lived again for the very purpose of being Lord both of the dead and of the living. Then why should you criticize your brother? Or why should you look down on your brother? Surely we shall all stand before God to be judged. Now, let's just recap what he said there. He said that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. We all live and we all die in relationship to God. As we live, we must live unto the Lord. When we die, we must die unto the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul said that he did. If I die, I die unto the Lord. If I live, I'm going to live unto the Lord. Whether I live or die, I'm still the Lord's. I'm going to serve the Lord in my life. I'm going to serve the Lord in my death. Because we're all going to stand before God, and each one of us who are the servants of the Lord are going to be judged by the Lord. So he says, it's not your business to judge your brother about what he eats or what he don't eat. For the Scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, every tongue shall make acknowledgement to God. So each of us must give an account of himself to God. Then let us stop criticizing one another. Instead, do this. Determine to stop putting stumbling blocks or hindrances in your brother's way. I know that through my union with the Lord Jesus, I have a clear conviction that nothing is unclean in itself. That a thing is unclean only to the person who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is hurt because of the food you eat, you are not living by the standard of love. Stop ruining by what you eat the man for whom Christ died. Then stop abusing your rights. For the kingdom of God does not consist in what we eat and what we drink, but in doing right in peace and joy through the Holy Spirit. Whoever in this way continues serving Christ is well-pleasing to God and approved by men. So let us keep on pursuing the things that make for peace and our mutual upbuilding. Stop undoing the work of God just for the sake of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything when it makes another stumble. The right thing to do is not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother stumble. On your part, you must exercise your faith by the standard of yourself in the sight of God. Happy is the man who need not condemn himself for doing the thing that he approves. I love the reading of that verse. Happy is the man who need not condemn himself for doing the thing that he approves. If there's something that he knows is all right in the sight of God, and he can do it with a clear conscience, and yet when he does it not in a consideration of his brother and his brother's conscience and his brother's need, and though he does it, in God's sight, it is permissible for him to do it, but it offends his brother, then he has condemned himself by doing that which he has known to be right for himself. But the man who has misgivings about eating, if he then eats, he has already condemned himself by so doing, because he did not follow his faith. And any action that does not follow one's faith is sin. So there's the reason that we are not to judge, we're not to criticize what somebody else is doing in reference to his meat and to his drink. Because God says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. But if a man's conscience says, it's wrong for me to eat that, and you just float yourself in front of him and say, well, watch me eat it, then you have offended and hurt your brother. You have not helped him at all. So he says, you have rights, but you don't have to exercise your rights. Liberty is not to be used as an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another. The body needs to be disciplined. If our bodies are given over to fleshly lust, if our bodies are under the power of addictive habits, then our bodies cannot serve the purposes of God. If our bodies are yielded to sensual lusts, then our bodies cannot serve and glorify the purposes of God. God desires our bodies to be disciplined, and God desires everything that puts our bodies in bondage to be broken off of us. And before we leave this afternoon, we want to take time to break the chains of bondage off of the physical man so that he can be submitted to the spirit man and we can glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his. Well, I've rushed a little bit to get through in order to leave some time for Ida Mae to share her testimony. So you pray for her as she comes now. Ida Mae, would you come?
Okay, praise the Lord. I'll give you the ladies, the housewives' viewpoint. Ladies, do you know that our families eat what we train them to eat? We are the ones who are responsible for what goes in the stomach of our families. We are the ones who go to the little prayer meetings and exchange recipes. And 90% of the recipes we exchange will be sugar recipes. A better dessert, richer and sweeter than the last one we fixed. And we get our families all hooked on sugar. And I don't know where to, in trying to think back, I can't remember when God first started talking to me about the food that I was feeding myself and Frank. But you know, when the Spirit starts dealing with you, He has a way of not letting up until you hear. And though we were moving about in ministry, God began to require some obedience out of us. And like Frank said, my physical stamina would not hold up to the traveling. And we weren't doing near the traveling that we do now. And so God began to speak to me about two things, exercise and my food that I was eating. When our daughter was born, she's 30 now. I got a blood clot in my right leg, and I have had phlebitis in that leg ever since. Now, perhaps some doctor told me that I was not to do this, but I didn't hear him. You know, sometimes we're told things and you don't hear it. If I was ever told by a doctor, I didn't hear it. The way I treated that phlebitis leg was to sit all the time. I would work in the kitchen, and my leg would get to aching. I'd run, sit down in the chair, and elevate my foot. All right? For 25 years, I took care of my phlebitis leg by sitting. And I had any kitchen work to do, I thought, how can I sit and do this and elevate my leg? And then the Lord started showing me, you're doing it wrong. You should be exercising your leg, not sitting all the time. And so He started me walking. He said, now get out and walk, walk, walk. Oh, I walked a block or two, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get a big crown from the Lord. I've walked 2 blocks a day, you know. And, you know, He just keeps on, you know, further. And I'd hear people talking about walking 1 mile, 2 miles. And so the other pastor's wife and I, we started walking, and we'd get up early in the morning. And West Texas is a beautiful time to walk because we live at 3,500 elevation, and the humidity is real low out there. And early in the morning, it's something like 65 or something like that. It's just beautiful to get out and walk and live in a small town. There's no smog. And we just got to loving our morning walk. And then I got to noticing that I was stronger. Then the Lord told me that He wanted me to learn how to swim. When I was 6 years old, I was raised in the country and didn't have modern swimming pools. And we would go down to the river and swim in the holes. I was 6 years old, and I had a first cousin, and he thought the way that you had fun when you were swimming was to duck everybody, you know, slip up on them, catch them, and duck them. And Daddy was supposed to be down there watching us all in the hole of the river, and he slipped up on me and ducked me and just sat on me. Nobody knew he was sitting on me. And when I came up, he pulled me up. Well, I don't remember, but when I came to, I was out on the bank, and they were pounding me on the bank and on the back and that sort of thing. I picked up a fear of water. I never wanted to go in the water after that. So then after the Lord started telling me to start swimming, I said, 56? You know, this is 50 years later. And the Lord says, you have a demon of fear of swimming, and you get that thing cast out, fear of water. Okay, so I've got that cast out. And He said, now you go down and learn to swim. So the other pastor's wife was a good swimmer, and she took me down to the Y that they just built there, and she was going to teach me to swim. Well, even after I had the demon of fear cast out, I had to conquer the flesh in the thing. But I found out that I floated like a cork, and there wasn't a thing to it. All I had to do was learn to stroke. And that was the greatest thing that God has ever had me do for my body, is to swim. And I joined the Y, and I would go down. Now, we traveled out for 8 years on the road, and we were just going down, down, down physically. Down, down, down physically. I had heart fibrillations. They were severe fibrillations. I would think sometimes it just was not going to stop, would start doing this. And then I would have a shortage of oxygen for a while. But after I started the exercise, I noticed that that began to subside. And then the Lord took us off the road for about a year and a half for another reason. And this is when He began to work on us with exercise and with food. And so I had about a year and a half at home, and 3 or 4 times a week I would go down to the Y and swim about an hour, swim laps. back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I got stronger and stronger and stronger. I didn't realize how strong I was getting until my daughter came up to see me. She wanted to learn how to can, so she came to spend 10 days so that I could teach her. I had said, if she left home, I'd learn how to can. And I was gardening, so I was going to teach her and my daughter-in-law how to can. And we came up, and they came up from Houston. You know, Joyce was about 26 at the time, and Libby was 34 or something like that. And I said, okay, girls, we'll get up in the morning and go to the Y and swim first. And, you know, to us it's sleep in. And I said, no, come, let's go swim. You'll feel better, you know. So I got them down at the Y, and I was swimming laps, and they were just kind of paddling around in the water. And I said, that won't get it done, girls. I said, come on, let's swim laps. I said, you've been swimming longer than I have. And so I'd get them up. We'd go down to the Y and swim. Then we'd come home can all day. And about the third day, Joyce says, Mother, I can't take this. What have you been doing? She said, I'm exhausted. She was secretary, had a desk job, see? And so I said, oh, and I began to think back. Well, Lord, you have been doing things with me. You have been strengthening my body. And so she determined that she would, you know, start doing something for her body, too. Now, along with that came the change in eating habits. I can't tell you how it started, except I know that one day, at the insistence of the Holy Spirit, I became aware of additives. And I kept hearing somebody say, read the labels, read the labels, read the labels. And so I would start having to read the labels on everything. And I'd go to the grocery store, and my grocery store took twice as long because I had to stand there and read the labels. Okay, I would read them all, but I didn't know what half of it was. And then little by little, information would come across my way, and the Lord would start schooling me on what was in the things that I was eating. And he wanted me to get out of foods that had additives and preservatives in them and sugar. And I there was nothing left to buy at the store. And so I said, well, you know, what do I eat then? What do we eat? And he said, well, you're going to eat it natural. And he said, let's just start with the rice. I remember he told me to start with the rice. He said, now you've been doing the 1 minute rice. Now, that's easy, but you get 1 minute's worth of nutrients out of it. So he said, we're going to start eating natural rice. It takes 55 minutes to cook it, but you're going to get 55 minutes worth of nutrients out of it. So I had to readjust my whole thinking in the kitchen. How much time now is it going to take to prepare a meal? Because, you know, when you've done something for 30 years, you can just think up a menu, and you just automatically know how long it's going to take you to fix that menu and when you'll have to start it. And I was lost in the kitchen. I mean, what I do, you know, no, it's 11:30 and I was going to have rice, and how will I have it ready by 12? It takes 55 minutes to cook rice. I had to renew my mind, ladies. I had to renew my mind, all right? In the meantime, our church started a co-op. We live only 60 miles from Arrowhead Mills. And those of you who go into health food stores know about Arrowhead Mills. Golden opportunity right at our back door. So we started a co-op in our church, and we started going over to Arrowhead Mills and bringing in some of their things. And that one of the other ladies says, hey, I've been hearing about grains and grinding your own grain and baking your own bread. And I thought, oh, Lord, you wouldn't do that to me. You would not bring me down to doing my own bread. I wasn't even good at biscuits. And so, but that kind of caught my attention, and somehow, I cannot tell you how it happened, but somehow I purchased a grain mill. And we all got caught, there were three ladies in our church, and we got all caught up in this grain. So we went over to Arrowhead Mills, and this other lady says, let's give wheat. All right, so we got wheat. And then she says, we really should get some millet. Millet? And triticale, and rye. And she just kept naming all these different grains that we should get. And I said, well, that would just be a loss at the church, you know. Nobody knows what to do with that. She said, we'll learn what to do with it. I said, okay. So I bought a little grain mill, one of those magic mills, from a little small white grain mill, and started grinding my own grain. And I did learn to make bread. Then it was that the Lord started teaching me about the white products. that we eat. All right? He said, I want you to eliminate from your kitchen all white products. And I took another deep breath, and I said, that would mean flour, the white flour. That would mean the white sugar. That would mean the white rice. That would mean the white macaroni. And so I said, all right, okay. So I would report this to Frank. I said, okay, now, we're going to eliminate the white. Don't you touch my sugar. Uh-oh, I said, uh-oh. Okay, all right. All right, you're the head of this house, and we'll only do this as fast as you want it done. Okay, so I said, but to myself, I said, I'm going to start leaving off sugar. And so then, but he, you know, he became a little more teachable because Laura started working with him. So for the sugar, we said, honey, that's what we should do. First, I thought about going through the fructose, the chemical sugars. Yeah, and the chemical sugars, and the Lord said, no, you'll just have to be pulled out of that again. Why don't we do it right? Just go to honey. I said, okay, we'll go to honey now. Unless you knew my husband's sweet habits, you don't know what a problem we had. He wanted a dessert for every meal, plus he had to have cookies on the side, and anything else that I had separate from the regular dessert for the meal. Because I started with... when we married, he wanted me to get his mother's banana pudding recipe. And every time I would fix it, he'd say, it's very good, but it isn't sweet enough. All right, so she had it with a half a cup of sugar, and 30 years later, I had it with a cup of sugar in it. I just keep upping the sugar. And so the Lord then put me on fruit instead of sugar. And I would, and I had a time my body just really gave me fits when I got off of sugar. But I'd grab an orange and eat it, and that would kind of, you know, quieten down the furor for a while. And then I would eat apples. And then the Lord started saying, you don't even eat oranges and apples right. And I said, well, what am I doing this way? He says, you peel the apple. He said, you need to eat the rind. You need to eat the peeling. And he said, when you peel your orange, you peel it down to the yellow part, to the meat part. And he said, you need to leave that white stuff between the peeling and the orange in there. And that's fiber, he said. Well, I didn't know that was also riboflavin, which is very good for you. But I was just being obedient to the Spirit, so I was having my time with my fruit. And I also love bananas, you know. I'm just a banana freak. And Frank, anytime he wants to, you know, buy me something, instead of bringing home candy, I always brought home bananas. Just love bananas. But so I thought, wow, this is time to really get, you know, sacked out on bananas since I'm eating fruit. And then the Lord said, no, you're eating too many bananas. You know, you're doing too much of that. But anyway, I went to the fruit, and he kept eating his sweets. But I did make all those adjustments, and we got out the white flour. But the only way... Okay, I said we was going to go honey. So we said, hey, the Lord said, I want you to learn about bees. And so we got two beehives. And so then I started switching his cooking over from sugar to honey. But he took so much honey the way he was accustomed to his sweets. And two beehives were not enough. And we ended up with 9 beehives. Trying to get enough honey for me to cook his sweets. Okay, now that was his department, but I was faithful. I kept his sweets going. All right, so then, then little by little, finally the only way I found out that I could quit cooking with white sugar was don't have it in the house. Just do not buy it. Don't bring it in, because if you bring it in, you're always going to fall back on some favorite recipe that just doesn't do right with honey or anything else. So I had to train myself, do not think sugar when you go to the grocery store. Then after I got myself trained not to just buy the granulated stuff, then the Lord made me start reading the labels that had sugar in it and all the things that they put sugar in, which is just about everything. All right, then we were partially obedient in this. Now, you understand, we go out and come in when we minister. And when we go out, the Lord says, if you look up in Scripture, this Scripture comes with those that are going out in ministry. It says, eat what's set before you. That means when you go out, didn't say anything about it home. All right, because when you go out, you eat what's set before you. And so we'd go out, and some of the things set before us wasn't what we were working on, but nevertheless, we were doing pretty good with it. But we were still partially obedient, and Frank was having a hard time with sugar. So finally he comes in one day, and he feels real spiritual, and he says, "The Lord has told me." Now, he didn't want me to tell him, see. And that's the way it should be. Everybody should have their own conviction about this. Of course, I was feeding him little information all the time. And he came in and he says, "The Lord told me that he wanted me to get off of sugar." So I said, "Okay, you know." And so a week, he left off all sugar, as much as he could think of. And he went in the awfulest fit of depression that I have ever seen. His nerves went wild. He lost his energy. He sweated, everything. And it lasted a week. And then he started snitching it on the side. And then pretty soon he's back on his sugar again, you know. But then I was trying to keep the honey going, you know, keep the honey things cooked up for him. But he's going by the store and getting candy bar. So then last January, or November, we went to New Jerusalem, USA, those of you who know about that. And the Lord spoke to Frank that night in a dream and told him the subjects he wanted to talk about. And one of them he wanted to talk about was food, wanted me to share what God had been doing with us on food. And so I did that talk, and then it was just embarrassing because we weren't walking the talk. And then that's the first time I ever talked about it publicly. And I said to Frank, I said, "Honey, I'm not talking that anymore until we're doing it." I said, "What good is it to have it up here if you're not doing it right?" Then in January, we went to California. Another couple was with us, and their idea of treating you was to go by this pie business. Yeah, Marie Callender's. Oh. And so we Marie calendared and we Marie calendared and we did that for about a week. And then Frank began to lose the vision in his eyes. And we got back home and he just complained. His eyes hurt and problem with his eyes and, just complained. And I said, "Well, all I know to do is say, go to the optometrist and find out what's the matter with your eyes, you know." I'd pull his glasses off. He'd put his glasses on, you know. And long story short, he went to the optometrist and he did this test that they do now with computers, and he said, "You've gone from nearsighted to farsighted, and that is a sign of diabetes, and I will not treat you till you go to a doctor and get your blood sugar tested." Now, his father had diabetes. Now, we had taken authority over the spirit of diabetes, broke the inheritance. We did everything. We did everything spiritually except change our eating habits. And he was diabetic. And we said, we were stunned. We said, "This can't be. We live by faith. We live by the word. We cast that demon out. We broke those inheritance spirits." And the Lord said, "But he still eats like his mother taught him to eat." And so then we really got serious, man. You know, they're saying, "We got to give you insulin." You know, I mean, it's way up, the count's way up there, you know, and we're just reeling, you know. And so then we get obedient. Now it's more than just, you know, how it's going to make me feel. Now it's physical. And so we have gotten very obedient since then. And so now I can read the labels and say, "This has sugar. Do you know how much sugar just ketchup has in it? It's ridiculous. Do you know a 12-ounce Coca-Cola has 7.5 teaspoons of sugar in it? White sugar. What's wrong with white sugar? They've stripped all of the nutrients out of it. The last thing they do to process it and make it snow white is a chemical. And a friend of mine went to a sugar factory one time and she said they had all this sugar in there and it was in a big thing going around and around and they grabbed up this handful of chemical and threw it in there and it went whoosh and it was white. So you eat chemical when you eat that white sugar. Besides that, it's it taxes your pancreas. Now, the other thing the Lord showed us, aside from sugar, was carbohydrates. And then he began to teach us the difference between simple and complex carbohydrates. And my head would just spin. I couldn't keep it straight. You know, I'm used to thinking that way. Simple, complex carbohydrates. And so what happens is when you eat simple carbohydrates, which is things with your white sugar, your white flour, your white rice, your macaroni, all of that kind of stuff, it is a simple carbohydrate. It immediately, your insulin, you have to release insulin to digest it. Within 30 minutes, it has what little nutrient is in it is gone, and you are left with a pancreas who has been charged for insulin. If you eat complex carbohydrates, which is your whole grains, for breakfast, if you would get 7-grain cereal, a Bear Mush cereal, which we've come to love, which is whole grain rice, which is whole grain wheat, eat those whole grain things for breakfast, have a whole grain bread. It takes about 6 hours for the body to break the carbohydrates down. And then your pancreas has time to work like it's supposed to. Well, now he's having to overcompensate because we're having to give his pancreas a rest. But praise God, God's merciful. And we're about to pull it together. And his eyes have quit hurting. And things are a lot better. Aside from all of that, the Lord then began to speak to us about supplements, vitamin supplements. If I ever took a vitamin in my life, I don't know when it was. And God began to speak to me about vitamins, vitamin supplements. And then right away he had to tell me, don't do the synthetic vitamins. Do the natural vitamins. So I had to renew my mind again, Okay, so the grocery bill went up. But then so is cancer surgery costly. Okay. And so he began to speak to me about food supplements. And I was real skittish to get off in this area because I know that a lot of occult people write books on nutrition. And I just didn't want to get into that. But this is the basic things that we are taking that I think everybody could benefit from. And one is vitamin C, which is, I take about 1,500 units of vitamin C a day. With that, I take a vitamin E. I take about 400 IUs of vitamin E with the C. You take it with the C, and it helps to your body to assimilate it better. So I take the C and the E together at the same time. I take a multiple vitamin, an expensive multiple vitamin, so that I can get all of the some other things, many things that go with it. We take a B complex. And we take pantothenic acid. This is to pull out of your body additives, x-rays, any of the poisons that you have in your body. And because we still are out traveling, we eat what's set before us, we still pick up those things. But I tell you one thing I am absolutely off of when it comes to my choice, and that's nitrite and nitrate in the meat. I will absolutely not eat meat. I will not buy it at the grocery store. I am careful to read it. But let me tell you something about chicken. Food is a big money item today. And so when it comes to live food that they feed you, they got to pump that thing as fast as they can, get that thing grown up, get it on the market, and sell it. So what they do is they pump it full of hormones and stuff so that it'll grow fast. And then they want to tenderize it for you so it would be tender. Now, you should always skin the chicken because that hormone that they pump into the chicken hangs between the skin and the chicken. A lady told us not long ago that she was working at a chicken factory where they were dressing chickens. She gained 50 pounds just like that. She couldn't understand what was going on, and she went to the doctor, and he said, "Do you work out at the chicken place?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Do you wear gloves while you're working with those chickens?" She said, "No." He said, "You are absorbing in your body that hormone they feed that chicken. If you'll get off of it, you can lose the weight." She got off of it and lost the 50 pounds. All right? Also, another thing about chicken, don't buy parts. Chickens often have cancer. When they run them through those chicken mills, they cut out the cancer, they take the part that's left, and they cut it up in parts. When you buy parts, you are buying from a chicken that has had cancer, and they mix them all up and make a chicken, whole chicken for you. Buy the chicken whole. There also is a chicken called Purdue. I've seen it up in New York, and I've heard some restaurant people talk about they can get it, but I haven't seen it down our way. It's Purdue chicken, and he has a conviction about that, and he has his chickens control grown, and they don't have that hormone in them. It's the Purdue chicken, P-U-R-D-U-E. So, there we are. God had us get on raw milk. By that I mean we have a dairy at home, and you have to be careful about this one. You cannot go to any old dairy and pick up your milk. You'll get TB and indolent fever. But we have a dairy at home. The man is president of the Texas Dairy Association. He has had his breed of cattle for 25 years. He has never had a bad report on his cattle. He inbreeds his own herd. He does not go out and buy other cattle and bring them in. He raises his own calf and breeds his own herd. And it's very good milk, and God has blessed us with it. And we buy it for our church co-op. And a funny thing happened when we first started handling it in our co-op. One of the ladies came up to me after it, and she said, "My husband told me not to buy that milk anymore." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, by the time we get that yellow stuff off the top, we don't have a gallon left, so it's not really that economical for us. And nobody likes that part that's on the top." And I said, "How old are you?" She says, "I'm 35. "And you've never seen raw milk?" "No, I've never seen raw milk." And I said, "That's the cream rising to the top. You stir it up." And I don't know if I can think of all the things God's changed, but it's been a lot. Now when we go out, it's a different story. Now we have strength. Now we have power. Now the spirit man can rule over the flesh man, and now we can minister and minister and minister, but we still get our 8 hours sleep at night. We do not abuse our body that way. Somebody says to Frank, "When we go somewhere, what time do you like to get up in the morning?" He said, "8 hours after I go to sleep." So that's pretty much where we are in the things of health. And this lady's wanting to say something. That's true. The hormones in it. Yes, I believe all that. I really do. And somebody says, "Well, with faith, I can eat anything I want to." Well, we had a pastor's wife at home, and she was a diabetic, and by faith, she was going to eat anything she wanted to. She's dead now. She's a dead sacrifice. God requires obedience with faith. One thing the Lord wants me to tell you, enriched flour is only white flour stripped of all its nutrients with a chemical in it with chemicals added back. You can't just say whole wheat because if you read that, it'll be enriched. And it has to say 100% whole wheat. And you cannot, only place you can get it unless you make it without preservatives is at the health food store, because even if you get 100% whole wheat at the grocery store, you get all the preservatives and all the gook in it. So you have to accept the preservatives and the gook along with it. So learn what the preservatives are. Carrageenan, BHA, BHT. I just will not accept anything with BHA and BHT in it and carrageenan and all those things. So learn what those preservatives are.
Amen. Thank you, Adamay. But I think the most traumatic thing I've been through with today is getting off that sugar. You know, I never was addicted to alcohol, never was addicted to nicotine and other things that we minister a lot of deliverance for. but I was addicted to sugar, and I didn't want to admit it. And Adam has told you the struggle I went through when I tried. I do like, you know, an alcoholic, he's trying to get off of it, and he'll go hide, and he'll take it secretly, you know, and I was supposed to be off of it, and I'd be slipping around, you know, and I think, well, I'm off of sugar, but I think I'll eat a big bowl of cereal with 3 heaping teaspoons full of sugar on it, you know, and things like that, you know, try to disguise my use of sugar in different ways. And when I got off, I did. I went through a depression. I couldn't understand what was happening in my body. Adam May suggested it might be because of leaving off sugar, and I said, oh, no, I'm sure it's not that. But that's what it was, and after I got off of it, then, you know, when I go back to something like that, I just can't tolerate it anymore. Yes, one of the great benefits that I had, I always had chronic indigestion. I just go to bed at night, and I just toss and tumble, and I'd be up looking for the soda box to try to leave my indigestion and things like that. And after I left off sugar, all of the indigestion totally left me. I used to couldn't drink milk. I couldn't digest milk. I'd drink milk and I would get cramps in my stomach from drinking milk. My body wouldn't digest it because the sugar that I was eating was evidently upsetting the enzymes or something. I'm not sure yet what it was, but it was causing some kind of repercussion in my body. And after I left off the sugar, my body's just quieting down, and I sleep so much better at night, and I don't roll and tumble. And Ida May said she found out she slept better because I slept better. I wasn't up and down out of the bed, rolling around and groaning and burping and everything else. So there's a lot of fringe benefits just in being obedient to the things of God. But saints, God is speaking to us today, as we've said, about our physical bodies because they are the temples of God's Holy Spirit, and He wants them to be presented unto Him as a living sacrifice. I've had to pray and ask God to forgive me for the abuses that I had in my body. When I was young, I felt like, well, you know, anything goes. I can do whatever I want to. I can eat what I want to. I can expend my body energies like I want to. But after a while, it has its toll. Brother Glenn was talking about the other day how the business that he was in and how he pushed himself and finally began to have heart trouble. But you can overextend your body, and God wants us to be sensible. He wants to be practical, and He wants to take care of these bodies which He Himself has created and given us for the purpose of serving Him. So I wish I had learned some of the things many years ago that I've learned in the last year, because I feel so much better. I don't want my body to use out. I feel like I want to serve the Lord for on and on and on. I used to think, oh boy, won't it be great to retire? Now that's the worst thought I can have. I don't ever want to retire. I just want to tirelessly go on and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to have just a moment of ministry now for those spirits that would bind our bodies, those spirits that would attack our bodies because of the wrong things that we have done to our bodies or because of diseases and infirmities that have attacked our bodies, because of any kind of addictions that have come into our bodies. There are all kinds of food addictions. Some people are addicted to sugar, and others are addicted to starches, and some are addicted to cola drinks. Many are addicted to caffeine. I'm not saying that we have to leave off all caffeine. That's my preference now, not to take anything in my body that has caffeine in it. But if you do take caffeine, I know you have a spirit of addiction if you have to have 12 cups of coffee a day. You might as well face it. I talked to a lady one time, and she was so glad that she was delivered of cigarettes. I said, you were delivered? Was the demon of nicotine cast out of you? She said, no, I just quit. I said, was it any struggle? She said, no, not at all. I just quit one day. And the Lord just kind of turned on a little light of knowledge on in me, and He said, ask her how much coffee she drinks. Well, she'd already told me she'd been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes per day. And I said, how much coffee do you drink? She says, 3 pots. The addiction spirit had transferred from 3 packs to 3 pots. Hallelujah. So sometimes it's a little bit tough on us to face reality. But some people are addicted to chocolate. That is another one because it also has caffeine in it. And it is an addictive thing we take into our body. Today, you young people, we appreciate you being in the service. I like to say that the young people are under a lot of temptation, a lot of pressure today. For several years, when we were ministering up in Colorado, we ministered to the hippies. God just opened up a door for us, and for several years, we have a very extensive ministry with people in the hippie culture. And so many of them were messed up, you know, in so many different ways, in morality, and so many of them were in drugs and things like that. And we have seen the damage that drugs do to a person's body. We've had people come to us who have been on drugs for rehabilitation, and many of them, their brains are injured. Their brains have had damage, especially because of the hallucinogenic type drugs, the LSD and things of that nature. And it's pitiful what some of the young people have done to their bodies and realized too late. And only by the mercy and the miracle working power of God can those bodies be restored and those brain cells be brought back to life. We've seen God do that, by the way. I can name you several particular instances where we've seen people who were so damaged by the drugs that they had taken, but God's been merciful and He's restored them and they're able to function again now. So young people, I want to say especially to you, I know you're under a lot of peer pressure today and I know you're under a lot of temptation today, but I declare unto you what you need to do above all things before the Lord. You need to make a complete commitment to the Lord. And purpose that you will not defile your bodies. Purpose that you will not defile your bodies with the wrong kinds of food. You're subjected to a lot of junk food, and I know the people that minister food to you are responsible a lot for the things that you eat. But I know some that are very close to me, and it grieves me because their bodies are so depleted and they're so lacking in energy. I can dance unto the Lord for a long time, and some of the young people around me just phase out after a half a chorus. Because their bodies are so depleted in energy because they're lacking in the proper food values that their bodies need. God wants you to have your body as the temple of God's Holy Spirit. So purpose that you'll protect your body, you'll take care of your body in the things that you eat, that you'll never give yourself to drugs, you'll never give yourself to alcohol, you'll never give yourself to nicotine, you'll never give yourself to fornication, never give yourself to sexual sins, which is a terrible sin against one's own body. Today we are working to try to restore the lives of many adults who just recklessly gave their bodies unto sin and they're reaping the things that they have sown today. So I plead with you before the Lord Jesus, make your vows unto the Lord, make your commitments unto the Lord that you will not defile yourself, that you will keep yourself pure, keep yourself clean. Do not yield yourself to premarital sex, but purpose that you will stay pure, you will stay clean. Because the person who yields to those things, it always carries repercussions into the marriage. There's always a defilement that's carried into the marriage that causes a problem between the husband and the wife. And we would spare you those things. We would spare you those things, those heartaches, those hurts, those terrible problems that just mount and on and on and on throughout your life. Glory to God. Well, God wants us to be free. Let us stand. Let us stand. Thank you, Jesus. Let's make this declaration in prayer before the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive your love and I receive your salvation and I receive your truth. I receive your wisdom and your instruction for my life. Your word has said that you purchased me with your own blood. And that I belong to you. I make a quality decision to live for you and to glorify you in my body, which is yours. Forgive me, Lord, for abusing my body in any way, for defiling my body. I desire, O Lord, that my body, as the temple of your Holy Spirit, shall be used for your purposes. My body is set apart. It is dedicated. It is sanctified. And to you, it is not my own to do as I please, but it belongs to you. And I lay it on the altar for you today. You know, O Lord, where the enemy has come into my body to bring defilement and to bring sickness and to bring weakness. I'm out of agreement with every demon power and I rebuke them in Jesus' name. I take back from them
All the right they ever gained of access to my flesh. I rebuke every devil that attacks my body, that indwells my physical body. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it to leave me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we stand against the spirits that attack our bodies. I stand against every spirit of addiction in the name of Jesus. Every addiction of alcohol, every addiction of nicotine, every addiction of food, every addiction of drugs. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you now, you release us. Our bodies belong to the Lord. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, go. Go now in the name of Jesus. Go now all over this room. All over this room, spirits of addiction. Spirits of addiction, I command you to go. Alcohol addiction. Addiction to beer and other forms of alcohol. I command you to go. You leave now. You keep going. Spirits of nicotine from smoking. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All spirits associated with the habit of smoking. I command you to go in Jesus' name. In the power of Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lamb. We belong to the Lord. Our bodies will no longer be defiled. We have given them over to the Lord. Every spirit of food addiction, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Food addiction, in the name of Jesus. You old food craving spirits, in the name of Jesus, we change our habits. We change our habits. We're not afraid of good food. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of food idolatry, I command you to go. Obsession with food, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. Every spirit of obesity and all your companions, I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every addictive spirit, in the name of Jesus, addiction to sugar, I command you to go. Addiction to chocolate, I command you to go. Addiction to soft drinks, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, out of all of the drinks, we found that Dr. Pepper seems to be the more addictive than any of the others. I don't know why. We find people harder to get off of Dr. Pepper. I don't know what else they put in that thing. But it's something else. You old spirits of Coke and Dr. Pepper and Pepsi, I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. Every one of those addictions to caffeine, we command to go in the name of Jesus. Our bodies are the temples of God's Holy Spirit. And we will not defile the bodies that God has given us. The God He has created. All you spirits of junk food, in the name of Jesus, we command you to go. Junk food spirit, you go now in the name of Jesus. You go now in the name of Jesus. All you junk food, you come in to defile and weaken in the name of Jesus. As it says in Isaiah, why will we spend money for that which is not bread? Why spend ye money for that which is not bread? God doesn't want us to spend good money for that which does not satisfy us. That which is not really bread. So much of what we're buying today is just purely chemicals. You know, our children drink Kool-Aid full of sugar and full of food coloring. And you know, we try to cast demons out of a lot of people that have problems with their nerves and having problems with hyperactiveness and things like that. And it's not except through the door that the devil has opened through the wrong kinds of food. Those food colorings are responsible for a lot of hyperactivity. Kool-Aid is one of the worst offenders. That's one of the worst things that you can give to children is Kool-Aid. It's all chemical. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, Cool Whip is another all chemical product. Ice cream. Most commercial ice cream has in it a lot of chemicals. You know, because they don't want it to get over hard in the refrigerator, they put antifreeze in it. That's what they put in to keep it from getting too hard. A lot of the things that they give for flavorings are the same chemicals that they use in paint remover and things like that. And that's what you're eating when you're eating ice cream. You're eating paint remover and antifreeze. Okay? All right. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command you spirits to keep coming out. If you want to be seated again now for a few moments, that'll be fine. We'll not keep you longer. We got you thinking about food. You're probably ready to eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, in the name of Jesus, you spirits, you continue to come out of us. We hadn't forgotten you. You spirits of addiction, in the name of Jesus, If you find something rise up in you and you say, I don't like that teaching, I'm not going to change my food habits, I'm not going to eat broccoli, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of rebellion, you spirit of unteachableness, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. I command you to go in Jesus' name. That's right, you spirit of rebellion, that's what will rise up in you. I know some of you felt that thing rise up. They're not going to take my goodies away from me. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to eat something I don't like. In the name of Jesus, that's rebellion and unteachableness. And we come against you in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Now, many of you have sicknesses and infirmities in your bodies. The devils have come in to weaken your bodies. You can't serve the Lord like you ought to. Let's stand against those sicknesses. Most sicknesses have demons associated with them. We've seen that old diabetic spirit go. We've cast that thing out and people have gone back and had blood sugar tests and they didn't have it anymore. We've seen people healed of hypoglycemia through deliverance, high blood pressure through deliverance, cancer through deliverance. We've seen a lot of victories because demons come in and perpetuate these things. Arthritis, glorious healings of arthritis through deliverance. Let's challenge those spirits. Whatever chronic ailment, infirmity, sickness, or weakness that you have in your body, you call it by name and command it to leave you right now. Whatever it is, heart disease, weak heart muscles, hypertension, in the name of Jesus, we command you to go now. In the name of Jesus, you spirits of sickness, you spirits of disease, we command you to go now in Jesus' name. Come out of every organ of our body. Come out of our lungs. All spirits of lung cancer, every spirit of emphysema, spirits of bronchitis, I command you to go. Allergies, asthma, hay fever, skin allergies, dermatitis, I command every one of you, go now. Go now. We stand against you in the name of Jesus. All of you kidney disease spirits, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Kidney disease spirits and bladder spirits, in the name of Jesus, spirits of bladder infection, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, all of you spirits trying to build stones in the kidneys, in the name of Jesus, I command those stones to be dissolved. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those gallbladder stones, I command you to go. Get off the gallbladder. In the name of Jesus, get off of the glands. Get off the glands. Get off our pancreas. In the name of Jesus, get off the adrenal gland. In the name of Jesus, get off the pituitary. Off of the thyroid. Off of the thymus. Go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of imbalance, every spirit of imbalance in the glands of the body, we command you to go for the deterioration of gland. Every spirit that is attached to the glands, causing that gland to be deteriorated and to shrivel and to lose its strength, I command you to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those spirits in the women and the young women here today that are attacking their female organs, I command you, you spirits of ovarian cyst, I command you to go. You spirits of tumor, I command you to go. You spirits of hemorrhage, I command you to go. You spirits of pain, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All fibrous tumors are dissolved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the name of the Lord. All the spirits of skin disease, all of you spirits of acne, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I command every spirit of fear associated with food, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Remember to take a good deep breath once in a while and breathe those spirits out. Expel them in the name of Jesus. All obsession of food, preoccupation of food, food idolatry, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Food obsession, have it all your mind. Food comfort, you're a false comfort spirit, a false comfort. False reward with food. Food reward spirits. I've been good. I deserve that piece of coconut pie. In the name of Jesus, I command you spirits of food reward. You go now in the name of Jesus. I command the spirits of weakness to go. Weakness and tiredness and fatigue. Some of you just drained. You just drained. In the name of Jesus. I don't know why you should be. You haven't been in services but 18 hours a day. In the name of Jesus. Now come on out. You spirits of weakness, spirits of fatigue, you spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, you got a name that man gave to you. But your name is not as great as the name of Jesus. At His name, you must bow and you must acknowledge that he is Lord and has power over you. And you must go at the mention of his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have any other weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, if God hasn't given me discernment on it, you call it out. Name it. Challenge it. Breathe it out in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, we've run a little over time. We'll ask you to forgive us for that. But ask Brother Glenn to come now. I think he has an announcement, a word to you before we go and find out what good thing we have to eat tonight.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.